Good evening and welcome to The Blank Canvas, the show in which we speak about visual culture and creative community. I'm Amanda Coulson, I'm the Executive Director of the National Art Gallery of the Bahamas, and you're listening to 96.9 Guardian Talk Radio. Don't forget you can always listen to us when you're on the move by downloading the Guardian Radio app to your device from the App Store or Play Store, or you can live stream from the website www.guardiantalkradio.com. So tonight I have a whole group in the studio of friends and colleagues who've been in on many artists, all of you are artists, but we're not talking about that tonight. And it's the gang from the current art gallery and studios at Bahamar. I think I said that right. The current is the super cool art space at Bahamar, and they are just always doing a ton of stuff there. So we like to have them back to share with the community, because I think it's really important to know that Bahamar is open to the public and that the current is very much a public space, and that you should get involved. So I have Natasha Vasquez here.
Hi, Amanda.
I have no idea what your title is.
Creative Arts Programming Manager.
Creative Arts Programming Manager. I have John Cox, my
good
wonderful
morning.
Former colleague.
Good evening.
Good evening, exactly.
Good evening, yeah.
And you're the creative art director.
Art with an S on the end.
Arts director.
Arts director.
Does that mean you do ballet and...
We do it all, and we're never
theater.
Closed.
And Angelica Wallace-Whitfield.
The curatorial manager.
Curatorial manager, okay. Mm-hmm. So, and they're all here to speak about upcoming things at Bahamar. I actually just got an email, so let's talk about that thing first. You're doing a crit tomorrow night?
An open critique, yes.
From
4 p.m. until 6 p.m.
So explain what that is.
So we're trying to run, restarting the open critique program, and we're trying to do it once a month on a Thursday from 4 till 6. And it's open for any artists or creative to bring their works in, and you get to discuss them in a group full of people who are educated in giving critiques, that have taught art, that have showed their works, exhibited their works, and just experienced artists.
Let's wind it back a little bit for the person that might not know, what's a critique?
Okay, so a critique.
Because I very casually said, crit, which is what we would call it. But like, what, explain to, because there might be a practicing artist out there who is, you know, working in his kitchen or his or her kitchen or whatever and doesn't actually,
right.
Like, what is that process? How is that valuable to a developing or even a mature artist? I think anyone can speak. John, why don't you speak to that?
Yeah, I mean, this is something that we have. I mean, my team is made up of people who are very multi-dimensional, as is your team. When you're in a small community like this, you know, usually you don't have the benefit of wearing like a single hat that's like, all I do is this or all I do is the next thing. So a lot of times people bring their experiences, like my own kind of career is based on, I guess, my own experience, right? So my team was filled up a bunch of people who also make art. And so this whole idea was spawned initially, maybe over a year ago, that we needed to make sure that we were keeping the kind of critical side of what we were doing. We kept reminding ourselves, okay, we're artists, this is where we are, because you're in an environment where you could very quickly forget that. Mm-hmm. And so we just wanted to essentially give an opportunity for us to discuss our own processes, our own projects, or whatever, amongst ourselves. And it quickly became something that maybe felt more appropriate to open to the interested public. So we were just basically, and for people, your question was, well, what is a critique? Essentially, a critique is just having a discussion about a work of art, the process of making that work of art, or the kind of intentions of the artists about that work that was made, or where it's going, or, you know, kind of what the kind of suggestions are in the work. It could be a very technical thing about discipline. How do you mix color? How do you work on your perspective or your value? Or it could be something much more specific about who you're referencing in this and what's the issue that you're kind of addressing. So
trying to address.
Yeah, the conversation can be high and low. Mm-hmm. And what it is, I mean, we kind of feel like this word kind of travels around in our department quite a bit, as I'm sure it does in yours, this kind of rigor, right? Mm-hmm. So like, how do we kind of keep a degree of rigor within the department and how we operate and how we function, and balance that with this kind of like mass audience of people that we have coming through the space. Mm-hmm. You know, the Beatles, I think there's a Beatles line that says, you know, your music needs to be able to to be have an effect on the smartest person in the room and the least smart person in the
room. Right, now it needs to operate on all levels.
On all levels. So sometimes like you have we have young, super young, inexperienced artists coming in and say, oh, I don't know what I should do. I really would like to be an artist. And how do I do that? And just coming to the Crit and make listening. Work. And we say, yeah. And Crit is short for critique. Yeah. Everything gets shortened.
Yeah, exactly. And the reason I wanted you to explain it was because I think when people hear the word critique, they get turned off, right?
Yeah, yeah. Sort of because intimidating.
It's, kind of like it's intimidating and scary. It's like, oh, I'm going to come and you're going to tell me everything that's wrong about my work.
And it's
that's,
also...
That's not the idea.
It's a dialogue. It's exactly a discussion. Right.
I think the word, it seems... It has like a negative connotation. Mm-hmm. Like you're telling people what's wrong with the work. And... while that's not entirely not untrue, it's more about the dialogue. Like you could be telling people what's right with the work and what else could happen. Because I think without that, you kind of put yourself in no man's land. Yeah. And then there's no framework, you know?
Yeah. As an artist, like coming into the space and being able to bring your work, it's a safe space to experience your first few critiques. I'm excited to bring my work there tomorrow and have a group of people whose opinions I trust, who are experienced in the field and who are very comfortable and it doesn't make you feel as vulnerable because these are familiar faces. So I think that's important.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think we talk about emerging artists a lot in terms of critiques, but even the most seasoned artists.
Oh,
you know,
sometimes even more so.
Even more so,
because
right?
Because actually you get lazy. Or, you know, I remember I had to, going off tangent, but it applies. I had to redo my driving test when I moved to Germany. And I was just incensed. I was kind of like, I can't believe it. I've been driving for 25 years. I've never had to take... Oh wow! I learned how all the bad habits I picked up, you know, and the things you think you know, but actually the road law might have changed since you got your license. So yeah, I think actually for mature artists, it's equally as important to do crits from time to time because you can kind of get into a groove.
Right. It's so easy to be, you know, working in your studio. You're isolated in the space. Mm-hmm. You're alone with the work. It's like you're blind to it after so long of being involved in it, in the process of making it.
And also I think it's like it's like having a good editor. Like nobody would ever consider taking a publication to press, or an author would never consider printing something without having had a skilled, seasoned editor.
Right.
And that person actually makes... I'm always so grateful when I have people edit my work because it makes me better. It makes me sound better. They help me sometimes articulate a thought that I think I articulated, but actually no one else is understanding. So it causes me to say, I have to go back and rethink that.
Absolutely.
And that's kind of what, again, the same job that would be, right, is to really actually help you be your best self or artist.
And it's also nice to just be around artists that maybe... have insight, you know, like sometimes it's about bringing your work, but it's also just about sometimes having an artist there who is maybe a little bit more seasoned, who can just offer some thoughts to you that you maybe hadn't thought about. I mean, I know when I was young and I was in art school in particular, I remember distinctly there's a documentary, I think Natasha, you and I just spoke about it before, this thing called Painter's Painting. Mm-hmm. And there was a thing when Frank Stella was young, like he was a young guy, and he had a major exhibition at the MoMA, and he was discussing this body of work. And literally 25 years later, it still is inspiring to me, like how solid this guy just sat down and broke down what he was doing. And he's an abstract painter, and he seemed to stand in opposition to the abstract expressionists that kind of like it predated him. Mm-hmm. And he'd like talked all about like where he thought their work had fallen short and how he was actively addressing these areas in his work, and like the kind of perspective that he really wanted people to have in looking at his work. And I thought, geez, like what an amazing lesson for people, because it just really specified the genre of work and made it more kind of focused and more tight and more about his moment. And I have so much respect for his work. I mean, even the works that I don't really necessarily like that he's done, I'm just like, wow, that was a great moment. You know?
Yeah, and I think it's actually really important for any artist listening to know is that you actually have to learn how to speak about your work.
I was going to say like two things about the crits. If you're not bringing work, in lieu of bringing work, I think number one, you learn to articulate how to talk about work, whether that be your own. I know often when you submit works to different shows, they ask for an artist statement. If you can't articulate your work, it's hard to get that message across. And I think it's, again, just if you come there and you sit in silence and you just experience the dialogues that are happening, I think you're going to walk away with something. Mm-hmm. And like I said, if you have no work to bring and you come, we have a humongous exhibition, the Fairwind exhibition, that we plan to sort of open up to the critiques, especially if there's a less amount of work there at the critique. We can walk over there and sort of critique works that are on display. And again, these are seasoned artists that are on display, and just sort of build that dialogue. You learn to articulate. Just being in that environment, I think you'd walk away with something.
I think it also adds to your practice too. It gives you something to go to the studio and chew on, you know, and think about, and then, you know, apply to your work, and then, you know, hopefully make you excited to come back and say, oh, I really want to discuss this. And, you know, it really adds to your practice as an artist.
And it becomes less intimidating and more like, no, I'm facing a problem in my practice or an artist block. I can't wait to go to the critique so that I can get some advice, you know, or
and
feedback.
We had a curator visiting a couple of weeks ago called Larry Osemensa, who's the chief curator at MOCAD, which is in Detroit, but is a traveling curator. And he gave a presentation on like how to be professional and like what you should do. And again, one of those things was find a group of people to talk to about your work. And it is a major, and I think it's one of the things that we have the least in the region is this kind of healthy critical discourse.
Yes.
Because we want to be so supportive all the time. Like, oh, you're doing so great. Because we want to push everyone forward. But I think, again, a very healthy, respectful dialogue around, you know, work and what's working, what's not working. And like I said, every artist needs that.
And I think, again, I'll push young creatives, especially if you're thinking off to go into creative field. When you're in architecture school or art school or any sort of engineering school, there will be open critiques in class. And it's a good way to sort of get used to that culture. And again, we're facilitating a non-intimidating environment. It's worth taking part in.
Yeah, I'm going to send you the questions that Larry had. They're good questions.
I just remember, too, like a big part of, you know, in the early days, I was a faculty member at the then COB at the College of the Bahamas. And I remember one of the most kind of impactful things I had was an instructor when I was at Rhode Island School of Design, this guy called Alfred DeCretico. And I remember distinctly in freshman drawing, the final project that we had to do that culminated at the end of the year was you didn't put your own drawings on the wall. Like, you didn't discuss your own practice. He put drawings on the wall that you had never seen before the day of the final critique, and he would give you a half hour to
formulate,
look at the work, and then you had to turn around and talk about the work to the class. Like, it had nothing to do with the work that you had done. It was just about, like, how are you negotiating this information that's in front of you? And it wasn't that he was expecting you to endorse the work that was there. He just wanted you
to unpack it.
He wanted you to unpack it, and if you thought that it was bogus, he wanted you to express that and defend that. And it was an amazing experience. Most people didn't understand at the moment what was going on. They were, you know, people were upset and crying, I don't understand, I want to show my beautiful drawings. He goes, I'm not really interested in your beautiful drawings. Like, I'm interested in this. Like,
I'm interested in your brain.
I'm interested to know what you understand about things outside of your own ego. So talk to me now. And it was one of the most amazing moments.
And I think that's also a really important thing that artists need to do, is look at other artists' work.
Yeah,
absolutely.
And not just their peers and colleagues, but I think it's great you're walking around Fairwind, because not knowing your history or not knowing what you're up against.
Right.
I meet so many artists that are sort of and I came up with this. And you're like, yeah, that looks like 15 other things I've seen since 1960, you know, and they don't know about those things. Yeah. So they can't actually respond to it.
And sort of like just knowing the canons in Bahamian art history, and they're all in the Fairwind. And I just think, as a practicing artist, you should definitely be privy to everything that's going on in the Fairwind. It's full of history.
Fairwind and the current.
And the current, of course. Yeah,
because again, I think to know your history and then know your immediate context is current. Really, really important. Your current, exactly.
Yeah.
What's current?
Stay current.
Oh, that's so corny. Anyway, we're going to go to a quick break after that embarrassing moment. And we're going to come back to talk more about what's happening at the current, the art gallery and studio spaces at Bahamar, and we have Angelica Wallet-Whitfield here, John Cox, and Natasha Vasquez, who are all working at the current every day and every day of the week to push Bahamian culture forward, particularly visual art. So we'll hear more about them after the break. You are listening to The Blank Canvas, the show in which we speak about visual culture and creative community. I'm Amanda Coulson. I'm the Executive Director of the National Art Gallery, and you're listening to 96.9 Guardian Talk Radio. We're going to be right back after this break.